last Lord's Day and now bring it to a close this morning. We have here in this chapter specific directions for the garments, the clothing, the vestments of the priests, the sons of Aaron. There is great detail that is given for these inspired tailors to craft, to weave, to shape, to engrave. As the ephod, which was a sacred kind of double-sided apron. And on the shoulders, those dark black onyx stones with the names of the 12 tribes. There was this breastplate of judgment, a span by a span. A span is said to be the length of the tip of the smallest finger with the tip of the thumb when it is outstretched to be placed at the chest. This breastplate of judgment was bejeweled with precious stones, 12 of these different stones with varying colors and shades. Inside the Urim and the Thummim, these two sacred stones that appear to have been given for the purpose of God revealing His will to His people. There was this sacred robe in a beautiful color of purple. The bells and the pomegranates lining the hem. There was this headdress. Our translation refers to it as a mitre, a kind of crown upon the head of the high priest, and upon it this golden plate upon which was to be engraven holiness to the Lord. A tunic, a kind of coat, a girdle or a sash. And even the undergarments, all of these things, carefully directed, just as there were careful directions about how the Ark of the Covenant was to be made, and the table of the showbread, and the altar. These clothes were for none other than the sons of Aaron, the priestly order, and they were clothing of service. Clothing of service. We will look at the different articles of clothing through these various themes. First, we'll look at the service itself. Second, that these clothes illustrated an authorized service. Third, a representative service. Fourth, an honorable service. Fifth, a dangerous. And sixth, a gracious service. So first we'll look at the fact that these clothes, these vestments for the priest, illustrated service, an authorized service, a representative service, an honorable, a dangerous, and a gracious service. Service. Well, clothes, they always serve a purpose. And some clothes serve a very unique and a special purpose, particularly uniforms. Those who are in the military service of any of the different branches, as soon as they complete basic training, unless I am mistaken, they are at that point conferred with certain special clothes. Not simply so that they can show off to everyone. And you know, sometimes that's what we sinful human beings like to do with our clothes. We like to walk down the aisle, as it were, and strut like a peacock and cause everyone to gawk at us. Well, sometimes the clothing is to look very nice and polished and impressive, but it's to suggest that there is a special service that is to be performed by the one who is wearing these clothes. So it was with the priests. They were called upon to serve the Lord. This tabernacle was, as it were, a kind of throne room for God. And they are to be his attendants, like the angels in heaven who are constantly attending upon the will of God. How may I please you, my majesty? How may I serve you, my sovereign? So all of these articles of clothing, the headdress, the robe, the breastplate, the ephod, all of these things spoke of service. And as they were figures of greater things to come, so they reveal to us about the service of our great high priest, Jesus Christ, who did not come into this world to do his own will, but the will of him who sent him. Even as a boy, 12 years old, children in the temple, he was caught up in the service of his God. Shouldn't I not be about my Father's business? He came from heavenly glory not to be served, but that he might serve. See, the great ones of the earth, they clothe themselves in these great robes, glistening with gold and all these different jewels, that they might be served. But that's not why Christ came. He came that he might serve and to give his life a ransom for many. If you are a Christian, you are a Christian because you have been served. He, the Lord of glory, though he deserved to be honored, yet he made himself of no reputation. He took upon him the form of a servant. That's what's so unique about the Christian message. He has washed your feet. He has served you. And so you, having been overwhelmed by the service, you have been baptized. You have taken upon yourself Jesus Christ. That's how Paul describes it in Galatians 3. As many of you as have been baptized into Jesus Christ have put on Christ. This is my clothing. This is my identity. And if you've taken up the name of Christian and you are clothed in the righteousness of Christ, then you have taken on the role of your master. You are called to serve. No longer to serve yourself, and your own lusts. No longer to serve an evil and a corrupt generation. No longer serving the evil one, but serving God and serving your neighbor. Are you a Christian? Have you been baptized? Are you identified with a great servant? Then serve. Look not how you can be pleased, but how you can please. Look not how you can be honored and preferred, but look how you can honor and prefer others as better than yourselves. Because you are a priest of the Most High God. Second, all these articles of clothing, the garments which they shall make, verse 4, a breastplate and an ephod and a robe and a broidered coat and a mitre and a girdle, that they shall make holy garments for Aaron thy brother and his sons, that he may minister unto me in the priest's office, in the sacred service. These clothes also spoke of an authorized service. An authorized service. Oftentimes, uniforms tell us that somebody is authorized to do certain things, which without that clothing, they are trespassing. They are infringing upon the place that is only to be exercised and by the one with the uniform. Well, that's what these uniforms did. They consecrated and made these men authorized servants. The whole business, the whole transaction was made legal. Verse 41, and thou shalt put them upon Aaron thy brother and his sons with him, and shalt anoint him and consecrate them and sanctify them, that they may minister unto me in the priest's office. Remember that at the top of the ephod, at the shoulders of the high priest, there were to be these two dark black onyx stones with the names of Israel, all the tribes engraven upon it. Well, it was often the case that these signs of authority would be placed on the shoulder of officials in the ancient world. The Lord in Isaiah 22:22 speaks to Hilkiah, and the key of the house of David will I lay upon his shoulder, so he shall open and none shall shut, and he shall shut and none shall open. Not everyone could approach God. Only those who were authorized, who had authorized access into the holy place. So Christ was the authorized servant. He who was conceived by the Spirit was later clothed with the Holy Spirit at his baptism. Remember? The Spirit comes down upon him, and the voice from heaven, this is my Son, in whom I am well pleased. God, as it were, clothes him with the Holy Spirit and authorizes him to be Messiah. And so from that point on, he was clad with power and glory throughout his ministry by his mighty works and signs. Remember Peter preaching to the Jerusalem sinners, "Ye men of Israel, hear these words, Jesus of Nazareth, a man approved of God, authorized by God." He had the credentials. He had the outward signs of being authorized. How was he approved by God among them? By miracles and wonders and signs which God did by him in the midst of you, as ye yourselves also know. But further, he was credentialed by the robe of true righteousness and obedience, who always did those things that pleased God. And that's what ultimately authorizes someone to approach God. It's not so much some kind of outward garment. But who shall ascend the hill of the Lord? Who shall stand in his holy place? He that has clean hands and an innocent heart, whose soul is not been lifted up to vanity nor has sworn deceitfully. Only Jesus Christ is authorized to go into the presence of God, for he alone is pure and holy and righteous. He didn't need the uniform to authorize him. And yet God clearly pointed all of humanity to him as the authorized servant of God. Friends, there are many pretenders. There are many who take to themselves the robes of authority and respect and honor. But they are illegitimate. They are unauthorized, and they shall be revealed for what they are. But not Christ. Christ will never be exposed. There is no fraud with him. Third, these priestly garments spoke of representative service. Representative service. We spoke about this last Lord's Day. This is of the very essence of what it meant to be and to serve as a priest, is to stand in the place of others, to transact special business for someone else. So not only on those onyx stones, but the 12 jewels of the breastplate, verses 29 and 30. And Aaron shall bear the names of the children of Israel, 12 of them, because there were 12 tribes. Each of them being represented on the breastplate of judgment upon his heart when he goes into the holy place for a memorial before the Lord continually. And thou shalt put in the breastplate of judgment the Urim and the Thummim, and they shall be upon Aaron's heart when he goeth in before the Lord. And Aaron shall bear the judgment of the children of Israel upon his heart before the Lord continually. This breastplate of judgment, it's a kind of sign and placard that is placed upon his chest. He goes into the presence of God. He is carrying on his chest the names before God, that God, as it were, may look upon those names through the priest and remember the people. Aaron would bring, he would bear the judgment of the children of Israel. Probably this refers to the right of Israel to be in God's presence because of his gracious covenant. Now, no one has an intrinsic right after we've sinned, but when God chooses to save and forgives and pardons and calls sinners into his presence, they have a right to come. In a certain way, we see something of this in the Lord's Supper, don't we? Who has a right to partake of the Lord's Supper? Well, we don't speak of that right in the sense that we've merited or earned or deserved what Jesus has done for us, but by the grace of faith in which we lay hold of Jesus, he gives us a right to be called the children of God. And what an encouragement that is, that we can come boldly before the Lord because our priest, our high priest, brings our names in before the presence of God on his very heart. You see, for the priest in the Old Testament, it wasn't just this cold, calculated transaction. That's what legal work, all the forms and the documents, they can often seem so very cold and lifeless. I've just got to read all these paragraphs of legal jargon I don't understand. Maybe it's written in some foreign language for all I know. But it's more like the wedding, the marriage covenant. There is love there. Yes, it is a legal transaction, but the heart is there. These priests, they sympathize with the people. They are sinners and they are sufferers. And I am a sinner and a sufferer. And so the priest would bear them on the heart. As one theologian puts it, this was that personal intertwining with the life of another. And all of this, of course, shows us of the Lord Jesus Christ, who represented his people before God. Of them whom thou hast given me, I have lost none. Not one of them. Not one name. Now, can you imagine for just a moment what it would have been like? Now, I'm not sure if this would have been possible, but if the high priest, as he's coming to Yom Kippur, the great day of atonement, and he's putting on all his vestments, and he puts on the breastplate, and one of the jewels starts to fall out. Well, he couldn't have just set that jewel aside and say, 11's pretty good. He's got to make sure that all 12 are there, that each of those names is represented. All that the Father gave to me, says Jesus, every single last one, and each of them have a name. A name that I don't forget. a name that I love. These names were given to me of all of the elect from the foundation of the world. And he carried them on his heart. Having loved his own which were in the world, he loved them to the end. Oh, Christian. He loves you in particular. He bore your name into the garden when he agonized before God, as he saw the cup before him of God's holy wrath and judgment. Yet he bore those names. He carried them through his high priestly prayer, bringing them before his Father. He carried them to the hall of judgment where he was condemned and rejected and despised. He carried their names. He carried your names, Christian. He carried your names in his mind to the cross. Christian, he has borne you on his heart. And he will never forget you. Isn't that what he said to the thief on the cross? When the thief on the cross said, "Lord, remember me when you enter into your kingdom." Because you know, some people forget. Like the butler in Egypt forgot Joseph. Well, Jesus doesn't forget any of the names that have been given to him. He bears them on his chest. He will never forget you. Christian, he has borne you on his heart. And if that's the case, ought we not to bear others upon our hearts? Ought we not to bear the names of others whom God has providentially placed in our lives? Loved ones, relatives, friends, co-workers, especially those who have come from us, who depend upon us. Yes, we gave them their names at their birth, but in God's sovereign providence, he's the one who picked the name. And he gave those names to you. Will you not bear these names before the Lord in prayer? Will you not carry out your priestly work to plead and to intercede in their behalf as godly Job, who rose up early in the morning and offered burnt offerings according to the number of all? For Job said, "It may be that my sons have sinned and curse God in their hearts." Thus did Job continually. "I will never stop praying for you." Some of you are here because somebody was remembering your name. Fourth, it was honorable service. Or a service of great holiness. The shame of the nakedness of the priests were clothed. "Thou shalt make them linen breeches to cover their nakedness. From the loins even unto the thighs shall they reach." But it did not stop there. There were layers and layers of clothing to cover over. And further, they were adorned. They were beautified. Again and again, we see the different colors that are used, the purples, the reds, the crimsons, the special fabric, the careful weaving. All of this for glory and for beauty. For Aaron's sons thou shalt make coats, and thou shalt make for them girdles or sashes, and bonnets thou shalt make for them, for glory and for beauty. And crowning it all was, as it were, the crown upon the head. We read in verse 36, thou shalt make a plate of pure gold, engrave upon it like the engravings of a signet, holiness to the Lord. Everything to be dedicated to his service, a most honorable service. God confers something of his own honor, something of his own glory upon these men who are wearing these uniforms. And what an honor it was to place these things on, to know the sacred business that they were to perform in the presence of God. And yet we see no such royal clothing with Christ. Like us all, he came naked into this world. And he was not clothed as the great ones. He did not come of the tribe of Levi, rather of Judah, and so he had no priestly vestments. And whatever honor he did have by way of clothing was stripped from him at the cross, that he may cover our shame. Dear friends, the Son of God emptied himself of all outward glory that he might honor us, enrich us, beautify us. He, who is rich, for our sakes became poor, that we through his poverty might be made rich. Oh, what great comfort this is to the children of God. How dear we are, precious and valuable to the heart of God. God gives us honor. God gives us beauty. He dedicates us to himself, holy to the Lord. Malachi even refers to God's people as his jewels. Malachi 3:17, they shall be mine, saith the Lord of hosts, in that day when I make up my jewels. If you wear jewelry, this is something that is very special, very precious. And that's how God looks upon you. If you are in Christ by true faith, you are his jewels, the most precious valuables in which he delights, to which he returns again and again. How great a comfort this is when the world despises and loathes us. When they cannot see the value and the worth of these precious stones. Doddridge speaks of the revealing of the glory of the children of God on the final day when God shows the entire world how precious these jewels of God are. He writes, and when you are thus royally arrayed, he shall confer public honors on you and on all his people before the assembled world. Are you downcast? Do you feel worthless? Do you let the world drill into your mind that you're not valuable? On that day, he will gather up his jewels and he will summon the whole entire world to watch. You may now, he writes, perhaps be loaded with infamy, called by reproachful names, and charged with crimes or with views which your very soul abhors. But he will then bring forth your righteousness as the light, and your salvation as a lamp that burneth. So just wait. It doesn't yet appear who you are, but you are his jewels. What a comfort this is when the devil harasses us, besmears us, devalues us, belittles us, degrades us, when he reminds us of our sins. Oh, do you remember the day when you just did that? How can God accept you? How can you be forgiven? You don't need to listen to any of that because you are accepted in God's sight. You wear the robes of his righteousness. And you need not let your heart condemn you, because if our hearts condemn us, God is greater than our hearts. But these honorable clothes that speak of an honorable service, above all, call us as Christians who have clothed ourselves with Christ to be holy as he is holy. We need to walk worthy of the uniform, walk worthy of the office of Christian. Be ye holy as I am holy. Let us ever clothe ourselves with Christ. Every day, just as we put on our clothing, we in our hearts and minds need to put on Jesus Christ again. Putting on the whole armor of God. We need to walk as we are, as kings and priests before the Lord. And let us be done with the hidden works of darkness, those things that are shameful and contemptible. Let us put off the old man and put on the new. And let us beautify and adorn ourselves with good works, perfecting holiness in the fear of God. Put on patience. Put on tenderness. Put on charity. Put on the speaking of truth. Put on love. Put on hope. Put on Christ. Fifth, these clothes spoke of a dangerous, even a lethal, service. These bells that lined the hem of the garment had to be heard. We read in verse 35, "It shall be upon Aaron to minister, and his sound shall be heard when he goeth in unto the holy place before the Lord. And when he cometh out, that he die not." If he's not careful, he will die. The entire outfit was a kind of precaution. Verse 43, "And they shall be upon Aaron and upon his sons when they come in unto the tabernacle of the congregation, or when they come near unto the altar to minister in the holy place, that they bear not iniquity and die. It shall be a statute forever unto him and his seed after him." Maybe you've seen some video footage of those men in a bomb squad. And they wear a uniform, all right. That large, bulky, cumbersome thing, but you would want something like that too if you were going to be defusing a bomb. And how careful you would be in all of your movements to make sure that you're not clipping the wrong wire. Well, this was a dangerous, even a lethal service, as the sons of Aaron, Nadab and Abihu, would attest. Now, Christ was clothed with the office of high priest, not that he might be spared, but that he might die. That he might die, dear friends. He came under the flaming sword for us. Sixth and last, these clothes spoke of a gracious service. The breastplate, for a memorial that God would look and remember in favor. That breastplate of judgment by which the high priest presented Israel's gracious right and title to God's favor and guidance because of his free grace. Only by his grace, because these were sinful people. The whole institution existed because of sins. But if there was grace under Moses, how much more with Jesus Christ? The law came by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. Here is a full revelation of grace. Friends, you must come and stand before God. But you cannot go on your own. After the fall, you may not go into the presence of God on your own. Naked in your shame, defiled with your pollutions, with all of your sins that you have committed, not only with your mouth and your hands, but also your heart. Even sins and holy things, as we see in verse 38. We don't often think about these things, but even in holy things, there is sin. As Erskine says, there is a defilement arising from our duties. Unbelief and formality drop into our best duties. We may be ashamed of our choicest performances. So you must go through the priest, but not just any priest. You must go through Jesus. He is authorized. He represents his people. He is the truly holy one. He is the one who has not shielded himself from death, but embraced it, that he might show us grace. You cannot go, but he can, and he did. And through faith, right now, go through him to God. Taking nothing from yourself. None of your good works, for you have none. They are all filthy, polluted rags. But in pure and simple faith, embrace Jesus Christ, who will take you into the very presence of God. Amen. Let us close in prayer. O God, how we rejoice in these riches that have been conferred upon us, that he who was rich for our sakes became poor, that we through his poverty might be rich. May we experience all of this more and more, O God, by a living faith. And oh, that we would dedicate ourselves afresh to living a holy life. Hear us now, Lord, we ask, with the forgiveness of our many sins through thy Son. Amen. Let us close by singing from Psalm 132. Psalm 132, verses 1 through 9, to the tune St. Flavian, tune number 100. David and his afflictions all, Lord, do thou think upon how unto God he sware and vowed to Jacob's mighty one. Without further reading, verses 1 through 9. Please rise to receive the benediction. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. Amen. You may be seated. By way of announcements, today being a fifth Lord's Day, we don't have a class or a service afterwards. Next week, we'll be having two services.